I wonder if you might pray with me and for me this morning. Oh, gracious God. God, I give you thanks for this team. This team that not only is using their gifts, but is given of their time, have given of their full selves so that we might experience a movement of God this morning. And God, as I stood outside this morning and so many people said, wow, it's so cold, it's so cold. God, I couldn't help but thinking about those who are unhoused, those who don't have a roof, God, those that don't have a warm place to lay their heads. And God, we pray for them. And we pray that we wouldn't simply pray, God, but that we would be a church that does something about it, that puts legs on those prayers. And God, we pray for all of those who are affected by this tragedy at Brown. God, those that lost their lives, the students that are there that are fearful for their families, God. And God, we pray that this would stop in our country and that we would do something about it. God, we pray for those who live in places where war is constantly happening, that don't feel safe on their own land, God, where their land is trying to be taken from them. God, I pray that we do something about it. Christ coming into the world should change each and every one of us and transform us. So God, I pray that as I briefly speak this morning, God, you might somehow speak through me, that you would give each of us ears to hear what you want us to hear today, that our minds might be open to understanding, that our hearts might be willing to be transformed. Come, Holy Spirit, do what you do, and for goodness sakes, let me get out of the way. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to start today reading from Luke chapter 1, and this is often referred to as the Magnificat, so I want you to hear these words. It says, Mary said, with all my heart, I glorify the Lord. In the depths of who I am, I rejoice in God my Savior. He has looked with favor on the low status of his servant. Look, from now on, everyone will consider me highly favored because the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. He shows mercy to everyone from one generation to the next who honors him as God. He has shown strength with his arm. He scattered those with arrogant thoughts and proud inclinations. He's pulled the powerful down from their thrones, lifted up the lowly. He's filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty-handed. He's come to the aid of his servant Israel, remembering his mercy, just as he promised to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to Abraham's descendants forever. The Bible doesn't give us much about Mary's background. It tells us that she's a good person from Nazareth, a good person whom God chose, a good person whom God came to talk to and have this conversation with through the angel. And we're going to talk more about Mary next week as we talk about peace and how we can sort of have the peace of her heart. But I want to latch on to an aspect of her life today that's pretty fascinating to me. An aspect that when I dug deeper, I connected with this week. It's this aspect of love. She deeply understands the concept of love. She gets what it means. And we're going to see in just a minute where that comes from. What's fascinating to me is how hard love is for us to define. You ever notice that? It's really hard for us to say what love is. A lot of times people will say it's a feeling. So we have these kids. I have a video of these kids. Hi-Ho is this kids video thing that puts interviews kids and finds out information from them. And they've asked these kids what love is. And I want you to check out this video and see how they respond. You know, the video was much longer. And one of the things we didn't get to, which I really love, this one kid said, love is like Sprite because it makes me tingle. It's fascinating how these kids go so quickly to like romantic love. Did you notice that? It's got to be kissy. And it's amazing how I wonder if we condition kids from a very young age to think that love is gross. Like, do we do that? Think about your kids or think about yourself. You don't have kids. Think about yourself. When you got to that age where you didn't want your parents to hug you anymore in public, it was okay in private, but drop me off across the street from school, Mom. Dad, please don't cheer so loud at my game. People might think you like me. Right? We condition kids from a very young age to think that there's something wrong with love. There's something wrong. I want to take us back this morning to the time before we felt that. to rediscover what we felt like as a kid when our favorite thing in the world to do was just snuggle with somebody. When we just wanted to experience that feeling of love, when we didn't think love was yucky or gross. I read an article a couple of weeks ago when I wrote this, and that article suggested that in our society today, we have put love on the back burner. We've put love on the back burner. And they said, all you have to do is look around. Love is no longer at the forefront of what we think. And I think it's time that we brought love back to the forefront. That love came back to the front of the way that we engaged one another, the way that we cared for one another, the way that we loved one another. I want to go back and look again at Mary's Magnificat. When I was rereading it this week, I thought, oh my goodness, she gets love. Like, she understands love. And it's not simply because she had a baby that happened to be the Son of God that she deeply, deeply loved. It's not simply that she loves her cousin Elizabeth, which we see in the scriptures. It's not that she loves Joseph enough to keep going. But she seems to understand love that comes from God. Love that she has experienced, that unconditional, incredible, deep love that comes from God. And I want to look at it again because I think it's really, really beautiful. Look at these words. It says, with all my heart, I glorify the Lord. In the depths, imagine the depths. In the depths of who I am, I rejoice in God, my Savior. He has looked with favor on the low status of his servant. Look, from now on, and this all depends on how you read it. From now on, everyone will consider me, highly favored because the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. Now, I read this and I read it and I read it and I read it again. And I said, if we're looking at the character of Mary and we follow her through her life, that's the way she would have said it. Me? God chose me. She didn't go, of course God chose me, because I'm Mary. She didn't say, of course God chose me, because I'm the best. She said, of course God chose me, because God is God. Of course God chose me, because God loves me. From the very beginning of her life, she recognized God's love for her. Of course God did this, because that's exactly what God would do. That love was so deep in her that she was willing to do the craziest thing in the world, which is carry the child of God. She was willing to walk through life being the mother of Jesus. I mean, powerful, powerful stuff, because she had the assurance of God's love. So if we want to take love off the back burner, how do we get that assurance? How do we hold on to that insurance? How do we get it? If human love is so hard to understand, how in the world can we become assured of God's love? I think that's where the rediscover part comes back in. I think that's where we have to go back and remember. Look at the text starting at verse 53 again. It says, he has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty-handed. He's come to the aid of his servant Israel, remembering his mercy, just as he promised to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to Abraham's descendants forever. The team's going to come back up because they're going to keep going with music. But I want you to remember for a moment. I said a few weeks ago, if you want to remember God's love for you, go back, read the Gospels. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Be reminded of God's love. Read the arc of Scripture. But I want to add something this week. Don't just read the Bible. Go back and remember. Remember those moments where you experienced God's love. If you've never experienced before, I pray that you have that moment this very day. Remember those moments where you felt that peace. Remember those moments where God's love was so evident to you. Whenever I do a wedding, and I do this in every single wedding I do, the couples, you know, they've done all this preparation, all this stuff is coming, and I tell them to stop in the middle of the wedding, and I say, hey, look at each other. And they kind of giggle because it's awkward. Right, where everybody's in front of me. And I say, no, seriously, stop and look at each other. Because I want you to remember this moment and how much you love each other. Because there are going to be moments that are hard. There are going to be moments that are tough. And there are going to be moments where you go, did that person really ever love me? And I want you to remember this moment. And those moments are going to grow. And they're going to happen over and over again. Friends, we have to rediscover love. We have to take it off the back burner. And I think truly, for those of us who call ourselves Christians, and I know that's a hard term often, for those of us who follow Jesus, we have to remember that God loved us. We have to go back and be reminded of God's love, because that is a transformative moment. And then when moments come that are hard and you don't necessarily feel it, remember it. When moments come that are challenging, you look at the world and you say, how in the world could this be? Remember it. Because the presence of God can be really powerful. We can be reminded, as Mary's reminded in the scripture, then our souls too will magnify the Lord. Because remember, friends, you are loved. And when you remember that, you share love with the world. Amen.